We shall turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, and read again from the beginning. Psalm 103, from verse 1 to verse 8. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Here we see a progression in the psalm, a progression in regard to the gracious benefits of the Lord. David speaks of his own personal well-being, being blessed and receiving benefits from the Lord, and that's why he praises God. He blesses the Lord and he exhorts himself not to forget the gracious benefits that he has received from God. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. So here's the blessing of forgiveness that David receives from God, and also the blessing of healing that David receives from the Lord. And then redemption, verse 4, and satisfaction, verse 5. David goes on to make known that it is not just himself personally that receives such blessings from the Lord. The Lord relieves all who are oppressed, and he intervenes for the good of all who are afflicted. And that, of course, is his own people. And so David reveals the greatest example of God delivering those who are oppressed. And that is, verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel, when he delivered them from Egypt. And so David is showing that it is not just himself, but for all of God's people, all believers, God is bestowing benefit upon benefit upon benefit: forgiveness, redemption, satisfaction, deliverance from oppression. And here he is showing that the Lord gives deliverance in a way of mercy. In other words, we might have thought that God helps his chosen people because there is something in them that sort of merits his favor. But David is making it clear, no, God made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel for this reason. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. The people of Israel did not deserve the favor of God. And the reason that God is delivering them is simply for this fact, that the Lord is merciful, and that he shows his forbearance in bestowing grace and favor and mercy upon his people Israel, not because they deserve it, but because he is merciful. And the Lord helping us, we will consider each of these words that describes the merciful nature of God, his gracious character. First, the mercy of God, his compassion. The mercy of God, that is his compassion. Secondly, the grace of God. He is gracious, that is, he bestows unmerited favor. And then the long-suffering of God. He is slow to anger. Here is his forbearance, the long-suffering of God. And then in the fourth place, that he is plenteous in mercy. Here is his loving kindness, God's loving kindness. So to use synonyms for the words that are found here in our text, we will say first the compassion of God, secondly the unmerited favor of God, and thirdly the forbearance of God, and fourthly the loving kindness of God. Each of these words is translated variously in different parts of the Bible. They're all the same Hebrew word, but different English words are used to translate these words. So we trust it will be a profitable exercise and meditation as we dwell upon this short portion of Scripture. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And we can point out also that this verse, with other verses in the Psalms, is referring to the book of Exodus, the chapter that we read, which is this great revelation of God's merciful character. So as we read, Moses has asked God to show him his glory, and God says, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. And so directions were given, and Moses is there early in the morning on Mount Sinai. And there the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So God reveals his nature, his perfections, and the glory of it. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, and so on, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So this verse, our text, is alluding to, it's referring to Exodus chapter 34, along with other psalms. For example, Psalm 77, at least a few words seem to be pointing to Exodus 34. And the psalm that we sang, both psalms that we sang, Psalm 86 and Psalm 78, have almost these very same words, revealing the merciful character of God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So it is a very profitable exercise to read the Bible and pick up on quotations wherever a prophet may be pointing to one of the Psalms, or the psalmist making use of the phrases of Deuteronomy, for example, or Paul the Apostle quoting the Old Testament. And we see this again and again and again, and that is a very profitable exercise. Scripture making use of Scripture, and how we should make use of Scripture. The sword of the Spirit, being skilled in the Word of God to make use of these texts as we go forward in the spiritual journey and warfare. So Moses desired to behold the glory of the Lord, and God revealed his glory, and it is the glory of God to forgive sin. It is the mercy of God and the grace of God that shows clearly his glory. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Well, first of all, the mercy of God, that is his compassion. And we've considered this word already, and it is pity. The word pity is used in verse 13, and it's the very same Hebrew word. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The Lord is merciful, that is, the Lord is piteous, or pitiful, or ready to show pity upon those who are in a lowly, miserable, wretched condition. So here is the compassion of the Lord, and it is the compassion of a father, and the same that was shown to the prodigal son when he came to his senses and he returned to his father, and his father saw him a great way off, and saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and celebrated the prodigal son's return. So here's the compassion of God, and it's showing us that he is ready to show mercy. He's revealing to us his merciful, compassionate nature. And the word was used by David, as we pointed out time and again in Psalm 51, verse 1, when David is asking for forgiveness from God for his sin, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." Notice it's tender mercies. So the mercy of God in our psalm is his tender mercy. The Lord is merciful. That is, he is compassionate, and he shows tender mercies. And this, again, describes his disposition in a way of readiness to forgive, and all to encourage us to come to him for forgiveness. But we could never merit forgiveness, could we? Children, can we earn God's favor? Can we do enough good works so that God will show us salvation, that he will save us from hell if we just do enough good works? No. Therefore, we consider how God is gracious, and that salvation is something that we receive as a free gift, which the word gracious is telling us about. So that's the second point, the unmerited favor of God. It is the grace of God that comes to expression in salvation. So this word, its root or verb form is the heartfelt response by someone who has something to give to someone who has a need. So here is the heartfelt response of someone who has a gift, and he sees someone in need, and he's ready to give that gift. And someone else puts it this way, it's the verb form of it is an action from a superior to an inferior who has no real claim for gracious treatment. So the inferior has no claim upon the favor of the superior. But whatever the inferior receives from the superior, it's all a free gift. And so here we are, sinners, inferior, infinitely below God, looking up to God Almighty, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And God gives us a gift. We can't claim anything from God as if we deserved it, but all that we receive from God is freely received. We have no claim for his favor apart from his own free gift and his readiness to give freely what we need. It's all freely given. So the word is speaking, yes, about God's favor. He's showing favor to some. And it's the same word used in Psalm 102, which we all enjoy singing to acknowledge God's mercy to the church. "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her." Yea, the set time has come. The time to favor her. Here's God's favor to his church, but it's not deserved. The church doesn't deserve this favor. So it's unmerited. It's favor that is undeserved. And what a mercy that is. How thankful we should be that God's favor is not deserved, because who deserves it? Who of us in the congregation deserves the favor of God? And how wonderful it is to know, how thankful we should be to know that the grace of God is unmerited favor. That by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works. So this word, showing God gracious, is telling us that he gives us salvation freely. And that is even more clearly revealed by the word long-suffering, or here in our text, slow to anger. That's the third word to consider, long-suffering. In other words, the proof that what sinners receive is unmerited favor is the fact that God is also slow to anger. In other words, sin has provoked God to anger. They're sinners, those who receive his favor. But God, at the same time, he is gracious, is also exercising forbearance. And he's dealing with sinners in a way of long suffering. The word is long of anger. Long in anger. His anger, it takes a long time for his anger to be inflicted upon anyone. This is the long suffering character of God. And that was exercised toward the children of Israel when they provoked God to anger by worshiping the golden calf. Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain. The children of Israel were getting very impatient. How many children here have been impatient with their parents? And perhaps some children have not liked the rebuke of their parents. This is the position God has put you in. We were all children once upon a time. We all had to obey our parents. God has put you in a position where you're under authority, and especially as long as you're under the roof of your parents, you have to yield obedience to their authority and not be impatient with the instructions of your father or mother. Well, here are the children of Israel. They were impatient with God. And so they told Aaron, we want a golden calf. We want an idol. Show us a God we can worship, with a God that we can see. And so Aaron yielded to their impatience, probably out of fear for his own life, and set up the golden calf. And God was provoked. He was ready to consume the children of Israel. But Moses interceded for them. And God showed his forbearance in not punishing the children of Israel. And he did this time and again, where he did not pour out his wrath upon the people. Why? Because he is long in wrath. He is slow to anger. He's giving sinners time to repent of their sins. Perhaps you're a teenager. God has given you 12 years, 14 years, 16 years, 19 years, whatever it may be, all those years to repent. How many more years do you need? How long will you try the forbearance of God? He could send you to hell in an instant. But the Lord is merciful, and he's giving you another day to repent, another opportunity to trust in Christ, and how that should melt your heart in repentance, in confessing your sin and forsaking it and turning to the Lord. He is slow to anger. And in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, we read that the Lord will wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Waiting upon God, waiting for an answer. Are you praying for mercy? God will be favorable to you through the merit of Christ. And that is the way that God exercises mercy towards sinners, through the redemption purchased by Christ. And by the way, the word there in Isaiah 30, verse 18, is the Lord may be gracious unto you. That's again the unmerited favor of God, the very same word used in our text. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And he's waiting to be gracious. He's long-suffering so that he may be gracious to sinners. And those who wait upon him are blessed. Wait upon him. Wait upon him. Open thy mouth wide, and he will fill it. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And finally, the last word is plenteous in mercy. Two words, plenteous and then mercy. And this word is translated goodness, kindness, and loving kindness, and mercy. And I'm not certain, but perhaps it is most often translated loving kindness. And It's showing that God is abundant in loving kindness. Same word that is used in Psalm 31, verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Marvelous kindness, wonderful loving kindness. So this refers to an attitude as well as to actions. God is showing us his readiness to bestow blessing upon us, to show kindness and goodness to those who need it, especially those who may be in a miserable condition, similar to the word mercy or compassionate. So it's showing God's goodness in a way of outward manifestation, giving us what we need. So it's his love, it's in his heart, and it comes out in the way of gifts and kindness. And it's the same word that is translated goodness in the original revelation of God's mercy and grace and long-suffering. So again, Psalm 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, the same words that we've been considering both in the Hebrew and the English, and then abundant in goodness and truth. The word goodness is loving kindness, the very same word. The goodness of God, his kindness, his love that comes to be manifest outwardly. And God has been good to all of us, really. He is benevolent, he is generous, he is giving us good things every day. Even to the unconverted, he's giving good things. It's showing that God is good. Thou art good and doest good. And all the good things that God has given us, what should it do to us? Young people, children, how should we respond to the goodness of God? Remember what the apostle says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Repentance is not a negative word. It's a good word. It's showing us that we should obey God in thankfulness to him. And if we're obeying God, we're turning from sin. So the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The kindness of God, the loving kindness of God, the gifts of God, the gifts that are bestowed upon us in the goodness of God should all lead us to repentance. And we cannot do any good thing of ourselves, can we? How can we repent of our sins without grace? But it's free. So pray for that grace to repent. It's freely given, freely received. Pray that God would be merciful to you and show compassion upon you, that he would be gracious to you, that he would give you his favor, which is free. It's not merited. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't work for it. It's freely received. And that he would exercise forbearance to you and spare you of what you deserve. We deserve wrath. We deserve his curse, but we pray that God would spare us and save us from it and show loving kindness to us. Loving kindness, what a beautiful word. You probably won't find it in many versions of the Bible, the modern versions. Loving kindness. This encourages us to go to him. It encourages believers to go to him. David said, Psalm 26, verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Think of that. Wherever David went, he was saying the loving kindness is before God. If he went to Shechem, or if he went to Dan, or wherever he went in the wilderness of Judah, it may be, God's loving kindness was before him. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So the loving kindness should draw us to God to seek forgiveness from God, to seek grace from God, to seek strength from God. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So all of these words are revealing to us the merciful nature of God. And all of these words should lead us to God, should encourage us to go to God for mercy, to plead forgiveness by the grace of God, from his merciful nature. But you might be saying, but if I deserve the wrath of God, and God is holy, and we even read in that portion that he will by no means clear the guilty, then if I'm guilty, and God says he will not clear the guilty, then how can I be forgiven? Well, you know the answer to that. Because the loving kindness of God has provided a way whereby his mercy may be exercised agreeably to his justice, so that he may forgive the sinner and be just at the same time. How? Because God's love provided his own Son to suffer and die in the place of sinners, so that God's wrath, which is slow to be exercised, we may say was not exercised until Christ came and God poured out his wrath upon his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the propitiation. You know what propitiation is? Jesus turning away the wrath of God by taking it all himself. And so, in other words, the wrath of God is not poured out upon the guilty, but the guilt has been taken off the sinner and laid upon Christ. And Christ has suffered God's wrath so that the guilty sinner is no longer guilty, because Christ suffered the punishment for him or her. So God is forgiving the sinner who is under the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus washes away the sin, because Jesus suffered and died in the place of the sinner, every sinner who believes in Jesus. Someone has put it, forgiveness is from the merciful heart of God, from the merciful heart of the Father, through the heart blood of the Son, into the heart of the sinner, forgiveness comes. And God's loving kindness, God's love, provided the gift of his Son in order to take away sin, so that God may exercise his mercy and grace and forbearance and love, all consistently with his holy nature and his justice. And that's why we may rest assured that when the Lord reveals his glory and forgiveness, and at the same time says he by no means clears the guilty, that it is all consistent, and all the perfections of God are harmonious, reconciled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord is merciful, and that should encourage us to go to him, and to go to him in his appointed way through Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we're to go to God through the mediator, receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation. There you are, friends. You've heard the gospel again. And what is your reaction to the gospel? When the word of God tells you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Friend, come to Jesus. And if you say, well, I cannot because I'm unconverted, I have no ability, well then, cry to the Lord for grace. Cry to him for ability. Pray to be made willing, and look to Jesus Christ, because God is saying to you, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. May he bless his word. Let us pray.